violation of a religious festival to abduct unwilling wives. These are not very positive aspects to cast the beginnings of your city in. And yet that is how the Romulus story developed. Now, the Aeneid joins these two strands of myth, the Greek story of the Trojan War and the homegrown Romulus story. Virgil draws on and alludes to both of them. How does he do that? He does it by assuming that the Trojan Aeneas was actually the ancestor of Romulus. So it's possible to see Aeneas as the founder of the Roman people, Romulus as the founder of the city of Rome itself. Now, as we'll see in the Aeneid, Virgil very frequently just elides, almost erases, the centuries between 1184 BC, the fall of Troy, and 753, the founding of Rome. He often refers to Aeneas as the founder of Rome. In the introduction to the Aeneid, he talks about how Aeneas comes to Italy and from that rise the walls of high Rome. Over and over again in the Aeneid, Romulus is almost elided out of the picture. Aeneas is almost called the founder of Rome, and yet Romulus is still there. 753, and the foundation by Romulus is so firmly entrenched in the Roman mind that Virgil can't just push it out of the way entirely. Now, just as he combined Greek and Roman legendary material in the Aeneid, so Virgil also looked to both Greek and Roman literary models for writing his epic. The most obvious literary models, of course, as I've already mentioned and as I'll come back to again, are the Iliad and the Odyssey. Virgil draws on them not only for content, as I've already discussed, but also for the style of his epic. Like Aeneas before him, Virgil writes in dactylic hexameter, in the same poetic meter that Homer used to write the Iliad and the Odyssey, Virgil uses to write the Aeneid. When Aeneas wrote the Annales in dactylic hexameter, dactylic hexameter was a little bit awkward in Latin. Aeneas has some less than felicitous uses of dactylic hexameter, as far as we can tell from the fragments of Annales that have survived. It was a foreign meter to Latin. Latin did not automatically slot very easily into this meter, and Aeneas's use of dactylic hexameter is at times somewhat awkward, somewhat clumsy. Virgil is an absolute past master of dactylic hexameter. The use of this meter in the Aeneid is beautiful, graceful, fluid, compelling. And this, I think, is a testimony to Virgil's enormous skill as a poet, that he could take a meter that developed for another language and use it so beautifully for his own language. So the opening lines of the Aeneid, Arma virumque cano Troiae qui primus ab oris Italiam fato profugus lavenaque venit, get the meter that Homer uses in the Iliad and the Odyssey, put it into Latin, and use it beautifully, gracefully, and evocatively. That's not the only way that Virgil drew on Homer's style for writing the Aeneid, however. One very obvious thing that he picks up from Homer is the use of poetic similes. Anyone who has ever read even parts of the Iliad and the Odyssey will remember that Homer uses similes all over the place. Instead of just saying that a warrior dashes out against another warrior, Homer will say something like, and as a lion bursts down from the mountains and runs upon the sheep in the sheepfold in a well-tended farm and falls among them and destroys them, so-and-so rushed against his enemies. Virgil picks up on the idea of the simile and uses it very frequently and to very good effect in the Aeneid. Very often, a simile will use something familiar to the audience to describe something they cannot ever have seen. So one of the first and most important similes in the Aeneid occurs when Virgil compares the god Neptune calming the waves when Juno has sent a storm to trouble Aeneas. Neptune appears and calms the waves, and Virgil says that he is like an orator speaking to an unruly mob, an unruly crowd, and calming the crowd. Now, Virgil's audience would never have seen a god calming the waves, but they would have seen an orator calming a crowd. So that's one use that Virgil makes of similes, to compare the unfamiliar to the familiar.